Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Mindful Chef, Chef Alicia Barnett. And I am so happy to be here today to talk to you all. And of course, because it is the end of December, it's time for a year in review. Everybody is doing year in reviews. I've been listening and watching so many of them over the last few days. And it's been a very interesting time because we are in this space of a pandemic, and this year looks a lot different than any of us could have ever imagined. So I just kind of wanted to really focus on some of the content that I have put out and what the year felt and looked like for me. First of all, one of the different things that happened this year was I only had one podcast guest. Because of the pandemic, it was difficult to even get people to record distance with me. And I saw that a lot of the people that I reached out to be a guest on the show, they were, you know, busy. You know, they were occupied mentally, physically, emotionally, and just not readily available to discuss. Maybe their work had changed, and it was just a lot, you know. And even myself, there were times when I would pick up my phone to record or to write down some ideas. I just didn't have any, you know. I couldn't figure out what to discuss and what direction to go in. I knew I had a lot of things on my mind, just wrapping that into a podcast that is a deliverable for people just felt off. So I was very fortunate to have one guest, and that was Clarence Newton III, who talked about his clothing line that he created to support Black women called Battle Tested War Ready. And I really feel like that is ironic for the theme of the year. Like, we are in this battle, and you know, it's survival of the fittest for 2020. But I started the year off in a good place. January was new ventures with my work, my day job, and you know, there were events planned and all of this wonderful programming that I was working on, content creating for Edible Schoolyard Project. And then everything came crashing down by middle of February. We were asking ourselves, what are we going to do next? We still had the big dreams, but I think it was probably by March 1st, we were like, oh, snap. We have to pivot. We have to do something different. And here we are. So I'm drinking coffee, by the way, because it is still morning and I usually don't record in the mornings, but I am sitting at my desk drinking coffee, being very retrospective, if you will. But I just felt like, you know, once we really started to wrap our minds around, oh shit, this is a pandemic, this is real, how do we move forward? Particularly when all of my work was geared towards in-seat, in-person experiences as a chef and an educator and a facilitator, it's all about the in-person experience. And I have been teaching classes on Zoom for a couple of years for my own personal teaching classes for like food preservation and all these other wonderful things, but no one had really paid attention to the power that the virtual class has until this year. So as I looked towards what was happening with my work and how things were going to change, and having these meetings with my employer, pivoting to an online format was the natural way to go. But before that, we just spent months in different trainings, like sitting at the desk and learning new skills and how to apply what we already know into new and fresh ways to keep things rolling, to keep staying relevant. So as a part of finding solutions for problems seems to be like part of what my work is about. Like, see a problem in food, and then here's an opportunity to address it. So we started a CSA program for the people here in Stockton, on the south side, to provide organic produce for free. What more could we do that we were thinking, as far as being in a pandemic where folks were being forced to stay home and that impacted their ability to nourish their families? How do we fix that? So we said, let's give them food, and not just food, but also let's give them materials, exercises, fun things for the whole entire family that will educate them, support them, and just be a break from the monotony. So with every box of food, we started giving out flyers, information on how to store the food, recipes, what to do with it, coloring pages, activities that were just like in the mindful sense. So that was a successful project that we didn't know initially how long we were going to be doing it for, but it turned out that we are wrapping up our last distribution of the year this week, tomorrow, in fact. So we did that, and while doing that, I was immersed into the world of curriculum creation, which is really, really exciting for me to have been able to learn how to really put together all of my training, my thoughts, my coursework, and expertise in the area of food and nutrition, and put that to use for the public. So I was paired with some awesome curriculum designers, and we just got to work, and I learned so much. It was just this immersive time where I'm like, wow, I can't believe that I'm putting together these experiences for children and their families. And it just was so eye-opening to be a part of that, and it's still ongoing. It's something that I now have like a passion for. Like, when I have an idea for something, let me create something to kind of guide the people. And it stretched me. It definitely was not easy. It has not been easy. It has been actually difficult in parts, but I really feel like this was the next step in my career. So doing that, I found myself teaching virtual classes for a nonprofit organization outside of Edible Schoolyard, for Acta Nonverba Urban Youth Farm. And I always say that backwards. I think it's Youth Urban Farm. So I did their summer program, and then also their fall after school program virtually, as well as teaching the students in here in Stockton. So I've been quite busy. You know, I've been able to put together a couple of podcasts here and there, but that work alone right there was just, you know, a lot. It was very demanding. But I also decided to invest in my business and really take Chef Leisha to another level. That was one of the hardest decisions that I ever had to make, because it was costly, it was time consuming, and it cost me money to focus and to find individuals who got my vision, who understood what it was that I want to do, where I want to go. And even in some cases, just suggest that, you know, my team suggested things that I never considered for myself. You know, I wouldn't say that I'm a person who lacks confidence, but at the same time, there are just certain things that you just don't consider for yourself for various reasons. And that's the space that I was in, until they were like, you can do this and you can do that. And it just kind of like said, oh, wait a minute, I can, you know, like, that's feasible, that's doable, perhaps that's something. So I just, you know, I stretched myself and I did a documentary, you know, and it was absolutely incredible. The day of the shoot was really something that I will never, ever, ever forget, because, you know, I say there are no coincidences in the world. Everything is everything, right? your path is the path that you are meant to be on. And when I tell you that certain things did not go right in my mind at first, there was still this calm feeling that I had that despite this particular bump that we just hit, it will be fine. And not only was it fine, it was absolutely amazing. I was given such a beautiful team to work with. They were able to pull the essence of me and be able to capture that on film. And I will forever, ever, ever be grateful for that. And one of the reasons why it was important for me to rebrand, repackage, and go through this process is because of a thing that my tech guru and brand manager said to me in our first meeting. And she was like, "You are not Chef Leisha. Like, that's not what your brand is. That's not who you are." And I paused when she said that and was like, "Wait a minute." Like, I don't get it. And she was like, "You're more than that. You have much more than that in you. You are already doing more. You don't just cook. And we're not going to limit ourselves anymore." So just hearing that message, just hearing that and being encouraged in that way was really, really amazing, because I hadn't thought about it in that sense. Like, I specifically told a couple of people earlier this year as we were talking, I said, "I'm an accidental activist." Like, I did not set out to become somebody that was going to ruffle feathers or provoke thought in this way, or even consider in my mind eventually change maker, policy change maker, somebody who can influence those things. But as I dug deeper into the world of food security and history and culture and everything that's surrounding the effects of diet culture on people from the African diaspora, I realized that this is activism. This is social justice work. And it's not just me filling feelings and teaching people how to cook. So here we are. Like, there is now the time. It's time to change. It's time to re-up. It's time to really express who and what the brand is. So embracing that and having a team bring that to life has been a wonderful process, and it's still unfolding. There are elements to everything that are still being put together, but you can find the video. There's a long version and then there are several shorter ones. Then you can find them on my social media platforms. I've shared them on Facebook, and I'm going to put the link on Instagram today. But it just speaks to the understanding that right now people are hungry for information. They are hungry for this information. They want to know what they can do for themselves and their community. And that's really where it's at. So that is one of the big steps that I took. And then I decided to put myself back in the kitchen a little bit more. Not too much, just a little. It's hard when you're like, you cook for a living and you post a photo of what you have for dinner and people are like, "Where's mine?" And as much as I've gone back and forth over this meal prep and meal plan thing, right? Even for myself, I had to figure out what's the best thing for myself and my family. And I gotta tell you guys, I am not a meal prepper for my family. My family don't even like it. Like, we can't eat the same thing twice. Not very often. It has to be something like very particular for that to happen. But we are all like no leftovers type of people. And we are also, I think I may have influenced my children just a little bit as far as their palate is concerned and wanting discerning different tastes every day. So they're right along with me on this journey of food. And if we have the same thing more than once, it's kind of like, wait, what is this? So what that does is it puts me in a more of a recipe development mindset where I am able to create more. But it also doesn't give me a break. You know how like some people are like, I don't cook every day. Well, I had to establish that Fridays are takeout days. Like, I'm not going in the kitchen to cook anything on Fridays. Well, that might change because I decided to do soup on Fridays. I love soup, and soup season for me is winter. I know people like soup year round, but I kind of OD on it in the winter. Like, I do like it year round, but winter is like, I really just want something warm and soothing. So soup it is. And I got the idea because I just was like, I'm making soup. And somebody said, well, you make me some. And the next thing you know, everybody wants soup. So Friday soup is a thing at this point. And I can't wait to cook that. But one of the big things that I wanted to do was put the family back at the table. My own family struggles with it. We don't sit at my table. Full disclosure, my table is my desk since the pandemic. So there's nowhere to sit at this table and actually put a plate on it. So we haven't been at the table. And I know that there are some families who don't have their desk at their tables. And they have the opportunity to sit. And for me, even if that means sitting on your couch, on the floor, some people eat on the floor, you know, with their legs crossed, crisscross applesauce, that kind of thing, in a very communal way. There are lots of ways to bring a table experience here. And I wanted to think about that in terms of like for people like myself who need that one day where they don't want to cook, but they don't necessarily want takeout. They want a home cooked meal. That's the struggle for me. It's like I will be exhausted from cooking, don't want to do it, but I definitely don't want fast food. And even some of the places that aren't fast food, it's still mass produced food. And not being able to sit in the restaurant space for me makes me feel like I'm losing some of that heart that you tend to get when you go out to eat, when you order Grubhub, DoorDash, all those guys. The stuff is whack, y'all. I mean, there's no love put in anything. They halfway sauce the stuff, and my food always tends to be the one order that they mess up. Everybody else in the house, their order is fine, and then mine will be missing some very crucial element like the shrimp I ordered. So it's been frustrating, but I thought about the fact that there are people out there who might be feeling the same way, and perhaps they want something comforting and they don't want to make it. Well, I got you. Family meals on Wednesdays. I do delivery in the evening, right before dinner time, and let it be. That's your thing. You know, that could be your thing. And the reason why I didn't want to go this route instead of full-on meal prep is because I honestly, meal prep is not my favorite thing to do. I'm efficient at it, but it's not my favorite because it makes me have to spend so many things at one time. You ever see the image of the chef, like, you know, this is a like common image in media where there's a chef and the chef is spinning like 6 or 7 different plates, you know, that's not fun. It ain't like you might, I'm efficient at it, but that's not fun. What is fun for me is maybe making a beautiful pan of lasagna, you know, and making sure that there's salad and French bread and delivering that. Like that's fun. Because that's heart. It's going to be some good stuff in there. Fun for me is making my mama's taco casserole. Like, my family really enjoys it. And yeah, that's a thing. Let me make the taco casserole. You know, again, maybe it's the wintertime with a warm and comforting thing. But I really just feel like, you know, if we do the taco casserole and then a side of some veggies, you know, sauteed veggies with all the little accoutrements, you got your sour cream and guacamole and all of that kind of stuff. It's just a way for you to feel like you cooked it even when you didn't. So that is the mindset for the family meal. And it's once a week, you know, that way I stay connected to you guys because I know a lot of times folks are like, hey, that looks good. I really would like that. And I'm like, yeah, I'm not cooking that for 50 people. And it's only because of my schedule and everything. So part of my year in review is understanding my goals, my dreams, my passion, my time, and evaluating what projects suit me and which ones don't. And to know that all good things come to an end at some time. So teaching the classes for ACT and Nonverbal was like, okay, now that's done. You know, doing this, that's done. That phase of this work is done. And now it's time to move on to something else. Knowing that you don't have to do the same thing all the time over and over again, you can branch out. And that's what I'm looking forward to in the new year. In 2021, we will see the fruits of the labor that we put in this year. The general consensus from people that I have spoken to about 2020 is that it wasn't the year that we wanted, but it was the year that we needed. That's not my quote, and I've heard like 17 people say it. I don't know where it started, but that's the quote. That's the quote for the year, because we needed to have our eyes open to the world around us in a way that we had not previously done. We needed to see what it was like for people not to have access. There are a lot of people out there who did not know what it was like not to have things at their disposal so readily. And this taught even those of us who are affected by systemic oppression that the shit could get even worse, y'all. It could. Like, I don't know how people, you know, it got worse. It did. And worse in the sense that we all have like this tiny bit of privilege compared to another class of people. So addressing that, recognizing that and addressing that is something that I saw a lot of people come to terms with, that even in their economically strained status, even in their proximity to wealth and things like that, they saw that they still had a certain set of privilege that other people did not have. I did not lack for anything this year. My bills have been able to be paid and I could move forward. Everyone can't say the same. In fact, my workload increased this year and I spent a considerable amount of time feeling guilty that I still was collecting a paycheck while people were quitting their jobs because their children couldn't be left home alone to do virtual school. And they didn't have a support system who could help them with that. So it wasn't the year that we wanted, but it was definitely the year that we needed to open the eyes of so many people in understanding so many things. Pandemics have a way of highlighting things like health disparities amongst Black and Brown and poor people. They have a way of showing you who your government really is. And this being an election year was incredibly frustrating because you get tired of that whole line of voting for the lesser evil. Like, evil is evil. How is one less than the other? Like, I'm so sick of that, number one. Number two, we have to be realistic. People need to open their eyes and recognize that politicians are human and humans are flawed. And we can't look for someone to save us. The community has to save ourselves. So when someone comes along and they have 5 good policies and 3 bad ones versus someone who has 10 bad policies and 1 good one, we got to play a numbers game. We got to make some decisions and make some choices. And that's not always an easy place to be. And however you land in that space, just own it. You know, just own it, whatever it is, wherever you settle in, just own it and be what it is. That's all I'm gonna say about politics for right now, because it's laggy. But this was This was a year. It was a really long year, a really interesting year, and one that I feel like, before I go, I want to make this point, and I hope that it like resonates with every listener right now. If you didn't start a business this year, you're still valuable. If you started your business and it didn't do well, you're still valuable. If you didn't read the 12 books that you plan to read this year, you're still valuable. If you did read them, you're no better than the person who did not read the 12 books. If you gained weight, you're still good. If you did not gain weight, hey, good for you. What I am trying to say is we are in a pandemic, and at 43 years old, I have never seen the things that I have seen this year. Never experienced the things I have experienced this year. And however a person chooses to cope with those things is okay. Because at the end of the day, when you are thrown and thrust into these situations that you have never ever seen before, you don't know what to do, you don't know which way to turn, it is incredibly insulting to say you didn't hustle hard enough. You didn't put in the effort. Because maybe your effort was just getting up every day and actually checking in with your children and your spouse. Maybe your 100%, what you could do for that day, that output was just clocking in and completing your job and your task for that day. Maybe you struggle with nourishing your body. So the fact that you actually ate when you didn't really feel like eating, you didn't have an appetite, and you couldn't figure out what was happening in your heart, mind, and body all at the same time, you still nourished yourself. You kept yourself alive. You deserve credit for that. Don't let anybody shame you into feeling like you were lazy, unproductive, and not a valuable member of society because you did not go hard or go home. Go hard or go home is the reason for me having many, many years of pain. In fact, just a couple of days ago, when I decided to go on this cleaning spree in my house and reorganizing things, I went hard. I went so hard, I was feeling good. I was like, I can't believe I accomplished all these things for myself. And then the next day, I could not walk. I still have chronic knee problems and feet issues. What made me think that I should give myself a to-do list that was so insanely large and actually finish it from start to finish? Like, I felt hella accomplished at the end. I was like, yes, I did that. And then the next day, my body was like, you should not have. You should have known your limits, and you should have stopped, and you should have been okay with that. And you should have recognized that putting your best effort in isn't going to look like what another person's best effort looks like. Now, don't get me wrong. I work hard. I'm a go-getter. I'm not lazy. But there's a time and place for everything. And simply calling a person lazy or lacking any ability whatsoever because they struggled in a pandemic year is insulting. It really is. And it's damaging. It can harm the psyche of so many people and make them feel worthless when we should be uplifting people and saying, you know what, it's okay. It really is. Interesting thing, somebody had said something about they lost, they didn't lose any weight this year. And I laughed because I gained weight right at the, I would say right around March, April, I started to put on a few pounds. And it wasn't bad. I don't get on the scale. So I just knew by the way that my clothes fit that it was a little different. And I said, you know what? What I want to do is become consistent in my workout regime. Not, you know, anybody else's, but I have the tools, I have equipment at home, I have what I need. I just was lacking consistency. And I said, I'm going to commit to 20 minutes every single day. And I said, wait, no, that's too much. I'm going to commit to 20 minutes 3 to 4 times a week. And that's where I started. And that 20 minutes was hard to get at first, you guys. It was rough because I am the person, you know, hey, I feel good. I could work out for an hour today. But again, that means the next day I won't, you know, my knees are like, why did you do that? So I said, I could do 20 minutes and still survive the day, right? That's the whole point. That's the goal. Let me do my 20 minutes and still be able to work, take care of my family, enjoy my friends, so on and so forth. So if I can knock out 20 minutes, I'm golden. And that 20 minutes turned into 30. And then 30 turned into 45. And instead of 3 days a week, it turned into 4. And it turned into 5. And the next thing you know, well, some weight is coming off, right? And I didn't change the way I eat, by the way, you guys. You guys already know I don't do diets, but I do holistic mindful eating as well as just move my body in ways that suit me. So the weight started to come off. And when I talked to one of my friends, she was like, yeah, this, you know, I didn't lose any weight. And I said, well, good for you, because the only weight loss that I have is the loss that I gained earlier in the year. A couple of people were like, hey, I noticed you lost some weight. And I was like, yeah, well, I'm back to where I was last year at this time. Thank God. You know, but for me, it wasn't about the number on the scale. It was more so about how I felt. Again, my clothes didn't fit the way that I wanted them to anymore. And I didn't have the energy that I was looking for. And it's exercise for those who are able to get a good sweat like myself. It's a stress reliever. So that was something that I accomplished this year. I accomplished consistency with my mindful practices, with my eating, my exercise, moving my body, and communicating more with people I care about. That was that's still a work in progress. I have been notoriously bad about returning phone calls, texting. Kind of, yeah, I'm good, but yeah, I don't keep in touch with a lot of people that I care about in the way that I would like to, just because, again, I struggled with time management this year and learning balance. And so I'm grateful because my job put us through a series of trainings to help us with project management. And I am utilizing those tools now to understand what I am capable of, what I should tackle, what I shouldn't tackle, and all of those things. So moving forward in 2021 is going to be some really cool things. I am on Clubhouse. And you guys, if you have an iPhone and you are not on Clubhouse, you need to get on. You really do. And I'm not saying this just because I'm a social media junkie, because everyone knows I kind of am. But I'm saying this because there is a lot of wonderful information being shared on Clubhouse. Social media is what you make of it. I want to say it again. Social media is what you make of it. A lot of people who complain about the time warp of social media and being online and it being this fake virtual world and that, you know, it's just completely fluff. Y'all have the wrong people on your social media accounts. You're following the wrong people. You're looking at the wrong trends. What I have found from my experience is that it's what you make it, it's what you put into it. If you are continuing to see negative images, and then who are you talking to? What experience are you cultivating? So with that, I said, I'm getting on Clubhouse. And let me tell you, Clubhouse is a master's class in whatever you want. Again, it's what you make it. There's fun, there's the goofy, there is the frivolous. I haven't seen any of it. Why? Because I said, let me see what they're talking about. And lo and behold, rooms of chefs and foodies and wine connoisseurs and people who are teaching about real estate. And this is not just like, hey, girl, hey, conversation. They are sharing valuable information about how they got to where they are in the business. And if you have been lucky like myself to be in spaces where there are literally 25 people or less, you're really having the opportunity to engage with the experts in your field of interest. And that has been my experience. It has been completely uplifting, exciting to be able to converse directly, voice to voice, with some of the people that I have really looked up to in the food world. It is amazing. And I am I am really looking forward to more conversations and more deploying of information, because there was one in particular session that I went to, and within 4 minutes of logging on, I was given a tip that really changed the way I looked at my business and how I was going to move forward. So every week I will be on Clubhouse talking about various subjects regarding food justice and health and wellness, and then also here, you know, with the podcast to kind of match to go along with that. So I'm really looking forward to it, because I think it's going to give people, and it's one thing to hear my voice on a podcast and listen in and go, yeah, you know, but it's something totally different when you have the capacity to like speak to me. And that's what makes Clubhouse so fun. It is because when you're on these platforms, if you have a question, idea, or comment, it's live podcasting, people. It is you being able to talk and give me direct feedback. So I really do hope that if you have an iPhone and that you are listening to this podcast, that you would consider joining Clubhouse so that we can really fully engage in these conversations. Since we can't see each other, it would be awesome if we could communicate by voice. And so between that and some really dope virtual YouTube / Zoom or StreamYard type of things, you're going to see more of me. So I hope you're okay with that. But this has been the year in review. It is really, you know, it's really time. I am looking forward to the coming year. I've already scheduled some folks for podcasting to be guests, and I hope to have more engaging conversations and community coming this year. I look forward to it. So thank you guys so much for taking the time to listen to me today, hear my voice, check in, let me know how you guys are doing. And that's about it, you guys. That's a wrap. I mean, cheers to 2020, however it was. It was not the year we wanted, but it was the year we needed. So go with that. Go with that. And just remember that as long as you still have air in your lungs, it's a good day. Until next year, I'll talk to you soon. Bye.